WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have about a little over 2 hours to spend together tonight, and I hope you'll join me. 888-876-5593-8888-R-O-L-L-Y-E. All right, so last night I kept saying that I'd get to the horror for some of the database you don't know you're in, and we'll talk about that tonight. The one that tracks your returns, the one that is a third-party database. Now, by the way, when I say the one, it's not the only one. There's one giant one, but there's many others as well. Retailers are in a world of hurt when it comes to returns. They have really ramped up the percentage of returns that are there. Some fraudulent, and of course, that's a big problem, and that's the reason behind some of this. But the other thing is, even when it's not fraudulent, if they take something back and put it back on the shelves, rarely can they do that at full price. So the bottom line is the National Retail Federation keeps track of it and shows that of the $5 trillion worth of retail sales last year, 14.5% were returned. That equates, in case you're wondering, to $743 billion in 1 year alone. So obviously there's a problem. I get that. But the idea that there is an organization that keeps track of your returns and will decide whether it's going to be justified or not, that's kind of frightening. I first ran into this years ago at Best Buy. And Best Buy used this company. They no longer do. I'll get to that. But probably about 10 years ago. And what had occurred was I went in, bought something. The clerk rang it up incorrectly. And when I looked at the receipt, I said, "This is not what I bought." "Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, I'll have to take it back and redo it." I said, "Okay. Can I have your driver's license?" I said, "What?" "Well, I need your driver's license in order to do a return." I said, "This is not a return. This is your error, and you don't need my driver's license or any other photo IDs." "Oh, yes, I do." So the manager comes over, and I was ready to, you know, you were scraping me off the ceiling, let's say that. In no uncertain terms, this was not going to happen to me. And so the manager said, "Well, I'll make an exception this one time." I said, "That's all you need to do, because I'm never coming back to Best Buy in life itself." And by the way, that is exactly how I stand on that. And it's sad, because in the past, one of the neat things about Best Buy had been that you could order things online, and if you didn't like them, you could return them to the store, and there was no problem. Well, of course, now there was a problem. And again, in 2019, Best Buy opted out not to use this company. The company is called The Retail Equation, and it's the most notable of all the third-party loss prevention services, as they like to call it. The problem is that you are probably not aware, when you make a return and they ask for your ID, that it's going into a database at a third party with which you've never done business, right? And apart from, of course, how secure is that database and everything else, is the fact that in some cases, your returns are denied. Now, I don't put that all on the Retail Equation, because obviously when they contract with businesses, and there are a number of them, and I won't mention them because I know some of them have opted out, some of them not as active with it, but a number of retailers certainly are part of this deal. And when they make a deal with the Retail Equation, what they do is they set the parameters. You know, this is what it's going to take for a return, all that. Now, you would think that, well, it's not going to matter with me because I have my receipt. Not necessarily. And that's the interesting part. So when you're buying something, if you have to return it, be aware that if they start asking, you know, for like your identifying information, this is assuming you have a receipt and all those things. If you don't, of course, all bets are off, and I don't blame anybody. But assuming that you've got the receipt and you're very well, you know, can document you bought the item's in new condition, et cetera, and so forth, never opened. At that point, yeah, why do they need your identification? Well, that's what is required, and that's how you get into the Retail Equation or other databases as well. Like I say, they're not the only one, but they're the big one. And I wanted to bring that up tonight because we were talking about something completely else last night, and I said I would tell you about it, and I realized that the show ended, and as usual, I didn't. So now I have. All right. Also, last night, Carol Ford, World's Best Show Prep, alerted me to the fact that I attributed some of the requests to the wrong people. And so, yeah, that's right. We played them last night. But apparently, when it came to the Orchids, the Velours, and the Five Discs, I attributed them all to Sergeant Pappy, but they were half of Jimmy P's on the South Side six-pack. So I know he and Sergeant Pappy both would have liked them, but those were Jimmy P's. So the only Sergeant Pappy requests I played were the Heartbeats and the Dells, all of which I think both guys would like immensely. So, of course, tonight we will play the rest of Jimmy P's six-pack and Sergeant Pappy's requests as well, including the Royal Jesters. So, and of course, the story of the students, and that's part of Jimmy P's six-pack too. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. We'll pick it up. We'll get to Don and Beloit. We'll get to Eric in Barrington, and there's room for you too on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. And so Boyer called last night and said, how about playing your favorite Roberta Flack and Donny Hathaway? And I jumped to that in a heartbeat because, of course, I've got one. And You Are My Heaven, 1979 on Atlantic. And that absolutely is one of my all-time favorite records. So glad Boyer requested it. 888-876-5593. I'm forgetting my phone number. That's the way it starts, doesn't it? Eric in Barrington, welcome to WGN Radio.
All right, thank you. I have a request. I guess it's a one-hit wonder.
Okay.
It's Pictures of Matchstick Men by the Status Quo.
Sure. Okay. Well, I normally wouldn't, but for you, I will.
I feel special now.
All right. So I see. Yeah, I have that. Be happy to play it.
Okay, great.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. So, yeah, I think that might be the first time anybody's ever requested that, truth be known. 1968, quasi-psychedelic, but a lot of top 40 play. That was on Pi. All right, yes. And the Status Quo, who weren't, was a couple of guys from London. All right, so we've got Don in Beloit. Don, wait a minute here. Let me say goodbye to Eric and hello to Don. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh.
How's it going?
Good, good, good. Hey, I like your topic on the Best Buy experience. That was pretty good.
Well, you know, it's interesting because there's so much more, and I didn't want to belabor it, but when an article recently came out about the retail equation, and people just all over this online, including people who worked for retailers that have implemented this, and one of them said, it should be illegal, it's flawed. And, you know, another one said, well, you can choose not to shop there. And I laughed at that because I thought, oh, yeah? How many people know which retailers are doing this?
Right, right, right.
So, yeah, maybe the deal is before you buy something, you should say, what's the policy if I need to return it? Yeah, and if immediately, if you have a receipt and they ask for your personal identification, like a driver's license or a picture ID, you know that you're in a third-party database and say, no, thanks.
Oh, I see. Yeah, good point. That's great. I've had some somewhat similar experiences when you buy a phone. Oh, yeah, it can do this and this. And you find out later it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Well, phones.
It just depends. Like, like everything else, like who's working the floor or what this person's doing is also a factor, I suppose, anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, this discussion came up last night because of phones. There are a spate of people who have returned their phones. They have contracts with the various cellular carriers. They're all about the same. You know, new phones, so you have to send your old one back. Well, they have proof they send their old one back, and suddenly they're getting $1,500 bills. And the bottom line is that no matter what, it's certainly a situation where you better have documentation and better have receipts. And in some cases, you might be going to the government for your help.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I wanted to ask you, request, like, have you play some early, really early Lonnie Johnson from, like, the 20s, if you can find it. Like, I've been studying him, and he's all over the internet. It's what a career, you know. It's just,
yeah.
But he was so, I guess the point I'm trying to make is he was just so old when he first got his big LP, and let's say his first LP, I think, was 51 on Lonesome Road.
Well, remember, no one really had an LP before that because we were dealing with shellac 78s. You couldn't put an LP
right.
on it. So if you're talking
right.
before 1950, it did not exist, period. It wasn't until, you know, that was the battle of the speeds. RCA brought out the 45 and Columbia brought out the 33. And what they were touting for the 33 is, yeah, you can have a whole album. So, there's some stuff. I think there's a company called Disc Records that has something from like 47, but it is shellac. So we're talking about, six songs, three on each side of a shellac. I don't really want to play them. Then in 58,
right.
King came out with some albums which were appreciably better in sound. But yeah, when you go back to the 20s and all that, those are shellac records. And he was on OK, which was a good little label as far as that goes. But most of it is probably not the kind of thing that anybody would want to hear as a bumper. So if there's something you can think of that you say, hey, that makes sense and people want to hear it, not for historical purposes, but because it just sounds good, let me know what it is.
Well, Lonesome Road is then, like, his 1951, I think, and he would have been 52,
it was 58
shows,
on the
it
album.
It just shows you, that album, you pick any of them, Greg. His voice is just so amazing.
Okay.
Although, of course, he's revolutionary in the 20s doing electrified things. He's like the first one to do so many different things with the guitar.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, we will do
so,
what
play-
we can. Okay, I'll look for something on that album that King put out in 58.
In 1925, it supposedly Mr. Johnson's Blues is his first 78 that he does.
Well,
I would.
I think the first 78. Again, we're talking shellac was 1926 is the first one I've got. Okay, Baby, You Don't Know My Mind and A Good Happy Home.
If you could play that, that'd be great. I'd just like to hear
it.
Yeah,
have you ever heard this?
Not that one.
Okay, all right. Well, I may dig it up for you. But anyway, Mr. Johnson's Blues, which you mentioned, that was his third OK single. It was
OK.
I think it was after There's No Use of Loving and Baby, You Don't Know My Mind. So, yeah.
It could be the internet's got a lot. You know, this is all historical, so the internet could be wrong. And certainly.
Well, a lot of it has to do with looking at the label numbers, and that can be very misleading.
OK, of course, is OKEH.
Well, of course. I mean,
yeah, that's so funny.
No, it was a huge, huge soul label. And, of course, Columbia distributed it for years, and even in the 60s, some of the best soul was on OK.
Well, his stuff in the 60s is just so amazing.
Yeah, well.
I spent Christmas in New Orleans. It was my first time I've ever been there. And so he's being from New Orleans, I guess, just played so much in the 20s all over the place and then gets teamed up with Louis Armstrong's bands, all kinds of bands.
All right.
Yeah. Well, it was nice chat with you.
Likewise. Yeah, I'll get you some. If it's not tonight, it'll probably be tomorrow night. But I'm going to listen to a few of them and see what I can find most tolerable.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, historically, it's interesting in terms of do you want to sit down and listen to it? Well, it's sort of like do you want to sit down and listen to Leadbelly? Yeah, I remember, God, this has got to be 60 years ago. But I was listening to Lead Belly and got a phone call, and I answered it. And there's like stunned silence. I said, "What?" Because I have Lead Belly on in the background. "What is going on? Are people dying?" I said, "No, it's just Lead Belly." All right, so we'll get to Cindy's got some requests. Now, Cindy, I strongly suggest that you hold off because we've got over half a dozen of your requests already to play. So probably you don't want to add to the list. Are you there, Cindy?
Oh, I didn't know you were talking to me.
Yes, I am talking to you.
Maybe I should wait till next week.
Well, what you
I'll
should do
what
is what you should do is wait till you hear me play. I mean, literally, do you realize how many requests we have backed up to play for you, some of which are just trash because it had been long ago, but just in the last couple of days, a couple of Billy J. Kramers and a Chuck Berry and a Del Shannon and the Four Tops and on and on and on. So, I would say
Well, I gave my cat. Well, that's it. I just mostly add music.
Okay.
My whole life and not much TV, so I'm really into it. Hmm. But anyhow, I'm not a big TV person like you. But anyhow, I gave my cat he doesn't groom himself anymore. I guess he's too scared because he got sick.
How old is the cat? How old is the cat?
He's 15, but I gave him a bath with that waterless.
Oh God, help us!
Cleaner. It's like you spray it on, you rub it in, and then you take a wet, warm towel and wipe him with it.
The cat hasn't left home yet. Just checking.
Left.
Yeah, I say the cat hasn't left home. I mean, I would think that might be able to do it. All right, so very good. We have, like I say, half a dozen of your requests, and we'll be getting to it. I promise.
Okay.
I'll play at least one a night, maybe two, and we'll work our way down the list.
The other thing I wanted to tell you, that story about the woman dying on the hospital roof was very depressing. I mean, made me start.
It's very shocking. I hope it is shocking because we'd hate to think that this was business as usual. So, but it could have been,
she was in there for psychiatric reasons,
she was there because she was an alcoholic. But anyway, a lot more is going to come out and we'll be talking about it when it does. So I'll talk to you later. You've ended the hour. Thanks for calling. All right.
Okay.
All right. So we'll get to Marianne. Oh, an update on doggy time. All right. Looking forward to that and your requests and more and calls. Another 2 hours right here on WGN Radio. Mr. Jimmy P on the South Side. That was one of his six-pack songs. The Students, Every Day of the Week. It was a flip side, actually, to I'm So Young. Both of them get a lot of play. In fact, the Students got an awful lot of play for a group that only released two singles. And that was exactly it. On Checker, by the way, 1958 for this. Interestingly, though, when you listen to that song, it's impossible not to recognize where the Bristol Stomp came from. Yeah. All right. So absolutely, as far as that goes, the students were, like I say, from Cincinnati, and they were young. It was actually a guy not in the group. It was a high school kid who wrote the songs, and including Every Day of the Week and I'm So Young and the other two as well. Prez Tyus was his name. And the group wound up winning a contest at the Apollo in New York. And Jenny Lee, which was also Prez Tyus, wrote it, which was later a B-side by another group. But when they were first performing, they were the D'Italians. And when I'm not making it up. When they got to Checker, maybe you want to come up with something else. Well, we'll be the Students. And it was under that name that the Tyus songs were recorded. And that was the deal. And I'm So Young, actually, again, on Argo in 61, got into the top 30 of the Billboard R&B charts as far as that goes. But other than that, unknown to most people. But and an interesting history, too. I think some of them were arrested or jailed or whatever. I don't remember the particulars. But the bottom line is that was the end of their singing career. But not before they gave us Every Day of the Week and I'm So Young and all that. So hopefully Jimmy P. liked it. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh. And we've got Marianne, who is in Chicago. So, Marianne, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. So we got a doggy update?
Yeah, but I want to mention... I the same thing when you played that last song and I heard the first opening notes, I thought, oh, she's playing the Bristol Stomp.
I know. And you know, Cameo Parkway, they were shameless that way. Of course, you know, they claimed they wrote the Bristol Stomp. It's sort of like the 81, which is actually Martha and the Vandellas in My Lonely Room. So yeah, they were famous for this.
But I don't want to burst your happy bubble day, but my heart goes out to those people on that plane that fell in the Potomac.
Oh, my God, yes. No, I mean, you know, there's not much I can add to it. What I will add for people who don't know, American Eagle, but that's a commuter line, and it's branded as American, but it actually is operated by other carriers. And in this case, it was operated by PSA, not the original PSA from L.A., but PSA is the carrier now. It was a Canadair, for people who wanted to know. So I think it was a CRJ, but anyway, Canadair. So that was the deal on that. As far as the helicopter, what we do know, that type of helicopter is usually assigned to carrying VIPs. And in this case, there was no VIP on board, but there were three military men on board. Yeah, and we don't know. But I've been saying, well, certainly since the 60s, they need to close Washington National, as we now call it, Washington Reagan National. That airport is a disaster.
Is it? You know, I was like, who was in the wrong airspace at the wrong time?
There's so many things, you know, when Air Florida many years ago, about 40 years ago, crashed and landed on the bridge. And, you know, at the time I said, well, you know, when you got to make a left at the monument, it's kind of a problem. And literally the only reason that airport is open is because Congress likes the convenience. Dulles is much safer, but it's far away. Or you can go to BWI to the north, and that's okay. But I don't fly anymore. But when I did, there was absolutely no way I was going into Washington National, and there was no way I was going into San Diego, to Lindbergh. Wasn't going to do it.
Now, that was the Black Hawk helicopter.
Yes, it was.
Now, isn't that the helicopters that escort Marine One?
Well, they escort a number of things. They're VIP carriers. Yeah, it was a Sikorsky as far as what the chopper was.
Because they used to fly over my right. mother's house.
Right, but...
And I'll tell you, you could feel them a mile away.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. Well, that's a big Sikorsky helicopter. I mean, that's not a small small piece of metal. But
no, there were six of them surrounding the president.
Well, and that's, you know,
you can imagine the foom.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a sight to see.
Yeah. So,
I used to go out in the field and wave, and I'd do my hand like, call me, we'll do lunch to whoever it was. And my mother goes, they're going to shoot you with a rocket one day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, that's a Sikorsky. It's a UH-60. And but as I say, the important thing when I didn't know about this, I was doing something else today, and it was a news blackout day for me intentionally. But when I called into Adam, he at WGN, he said, "Did you hear about this?" I said, "No, I absolutely didn't." And when he told me what it was, I said, "Stay away from Washington National, that's for sure." But my concern when I heard what it was there a VIP on board? And the answer is no, there was not.
No, just three military guys. The
right.
water's 35 degrees.
Oh, yeah, well.
They immediately went in the water to hope that they could pull people out because they said after a half hour, it's automatic death.
Well, right. But, you know, I mean...
So my heart goes out to all of them and their families.
Absolutely.
And, you know, if I ever went on a plane again, I would probably be white-knuckling it all the way to where I was going.
Well, there's just some basic things not to do. And flying into what they call Reagan National now, don't do that. There's no reason. Go to BWI or go to Dulles.
Is that comparable to, like, when we had Meg's Field over here?
No, but I understand what you're saying. But these airports are fraught with issues and should have been closed. And again, the reason I say these, like the San Diego situation, anybody who's flown into San Diego, and if it's a pilot who hasn't done it very often or at all, they're going to make three or four attempts to land because they have to manage to miss the parking structure right before the runway.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a friend flying to see me, and there used to be a restaurant, I don't know if it's still there, Mr. A's, and she said, you know, I saw Mr. A's 4 times at different angles. I said, new pilot.
Well, I remember when we used to fly into Aruba.
Yeah.
And when we would land, I would be, like, putting my feet down like I'm dragging it, trying to stop the plane, because if that pilot misjudged it by a few feet, the plane ended up in the ocean because that's where the runway ended.
Yeah, well, a lot of people talk about Aruba, and I understand why. But I will also say the ocean's not as bad as some of these airlines that if you miss it, you're going to go right into a rock, you know, a mountain, a hill, or whatever.
The water isn't that deep, thank God, right there.
Yeah.
Because a couple of them have gone off the runway.
Yeah.
But one of my girlfriends that lives in New York, her son happened to be standing over the Hudson when Sully landed the plane.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, that had to have been a sight to see.
Oh, sure, sure. And
holy cow.
Thank God he had the presence of mind. And, you know.
And he was a very seasoned pilot.
Right. And
he knew how to fly it without controls. And,
No, he did. It was just a wonderful situation where, you know, screw the rules and regs, get this puppy down. And he did.
Yep, we're going back to the OG time. And he knew how to land aircrafts in the water. So those people, boy, I know they owe him a ton of gratitude.
Well, yeah, absolutely. You betcha. So, I mean, I hope there will be survivors, but it's doubtful. And if there aren't going to be, I hope they all win quickly.
Yeah, that's all you can hope for.
Yes, absolutely.
But, you know, I turned the radio on last night, and I don't want to cry, when that lady called that sent her pet to
Rainbow
Bridge.
Lisa. Uh-huh.
Was that her first pet that she ever lost?
Oh, I don't know about that. I would tend to doubt it. I don't know that. But like I say, the same week that you unexpectedly lose your brother, man, oh, man.
Yeah. But, you know, like when you're taking your pet to go to Rainbow Bridge, you should talk to them the whole time. Tell them how much you love them, how much joy they brought into your life.
Of course.
I sang to Skipper before she went.
Yeah. No, and be
there. She's
probably
happy
there
to go, but.
Yeah, and be there. The amount of people who don't stay, it's just, it's immoral on every level. Be there.
The amount of people that bring in their pet and it's ill, it can be cured. They don't want to pay the bill, and they say put them down and they leave.
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely. Well,
a lot of times the people at the vets will take that dog in.
Yeah, no, and not put them down, but in fact treat them. Of course, there are so many situations. Obviously, each one's different. But the sad thing is that when you do lose a pet, especially one you've been attached to for a number of years, society doesn't really get it if they're not pet lovers. They're just like, oh, get over it. It's just a dog, you know. And like I say, those are just idiots. All right. So now, what's the update with your pooch?
Oh. It was funny when I called and I told John, it's Marianne from Chicago, and he's like, what do you want to talk to Raleigh about? And I said, I want to give her an update on my pudding.
Yeah, that's right.
Wait, it was dead silence. And he comes back and he goes, pudding? I go, that's my dog. And he goes, oh, okay.
I guess he just wasn't paying attention. No, I know exactly who pudding is. All right, so what is the update?
Well, she went to from every week to every 2 weeks with her blood draw. Now she went to every month.
Good.
She goes in this Friday, and they said if her numbers are still great like they were last time, are pretty much done. She's down to a half of half a pill a day,
mm-hmm.
from 2.5 pills a day, twice, you know, 1.5 twice a day, and she still hide it in her bread.
Mm-hmm.
And the other day I just looked at her, and I almost broke her crying. I said, what did I do to deserve a dog like you? I mean, whoever had her before, they got to be beside themselves.
Well, they may be. You know, that's the sad thing. There are some people who give up a pet because there is just no other option, and that's always a very sad situation. That's why, for instance, there are many people who will stay, for instance, women in a battered relationship where they're being beaten, but they can't find a shelter that will take their dog, and they
exactly.
say, I'll stay here.
Exactly.
So, you know, same with assisted living and so many other things, that when things change, very often you can't bring the animal, and that's just criminal, but it's the way it is.
Well, I always say when I buy the lot or when it gets real big, if I want a big one, I will build a phenomenal facility for battered women to bring their pets and their kids.
Yeah.
And make sure I've got guards so the exes don't come looking at them. It will be in a very secluded place. Because, you know, these women stay there and take a beating because they can't leave their pet behind.
Well, that's right. And I do know in some places there are more shelters that are becoming cognizant of this and are, in fact, allowing for pets to be brought. But it needs to change quickly because there are literally lives at stake.
Well, like the elderly, they have their little dog. Now their family decides, well, you're going to extended care. And we're getting rid of the dog.
Oh, I know.
And that,
there's
that person has nothing to say about it.
Right. And there's a special hell for that.
Yes.
I hope there's the kind of karma that those type of family members get to feel exactly what that's like, because it's just wrong.
You know, if they were a decent family member, they'd be like, Mom, I'm taking your dog.
Well, firstly, they wouldn't be warehousing a relative for the most part. So
yeah,
start right there. All right, and I do understand the circumstances in some cases where that's necessary, but far too often it's a matter of convenience for the other family members, and that's unacceptable.
Well, and you know, it hurts so bad in the beginning,
yeah.
And then when you don't think about it, it doesn't hurt, but when you think about it, it's just like the day that it happened.
Oh, of course.
You know, I touch my breath, my stomach clenches up.
Yeah.
My eyes get watery. I got pictures of her in the house with her little costumes on and everything. And
mm-hmm.
I love this dog, but the Skipper was one of a kind dog.
Oh yeah, no, I mean you know he's across the Rainbow Bridge and you will be reunited, but you didn't replace him, and you know that you got Puddin', and that's a new and different experience, and you'll have just as much love from Puddin', but it doesn't change the feeling you had for Skipper, of course.
Well, somebody sent me a thing off of Facebook, and it was about your dog that passed, saying you were the best mom in the world.
Yeah, right.
And I want you to fill the hole in your heart
yeah.
and save another dog.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh, my God, I cried like
yeah.
a baby when I heard that.
But it's true. It is. Well, I'm so glad the report from Puddin is good. Keep it up and keep me posted.
Well, I'll let you know next week because your thing's on Friday. Could I make a request?
It depends. What do you want to hear?
Well, they've been advertising on TV. They're going to have a special with Luther Vandross.
Mm. Okay.
Do you not like him?
No, I mean, there's some is acceptable. Is there anything in particular, or do I get to pick it?
You play whatever you like from him, because I like all his stuff.
I'll do it. All right.
Okay.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, night, everybody.
All right. So, good deal. Good news about Puddin'. All right, so 888-876-5593. Gwen in Chicago. Eric is called back, and there's room for you, plenty of room for you, right here on WGN Radio.
Bang goes my heart. Boom, boom. this world, and then some would never get me away from you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and yeah, those are the Morocco's. Doesn't get better than that when it comes to Chicago doo-wop, does it? Bang Goes My Heart, on United, 1956, and that was one of Jimmy P's six-pack, and happy to play it. A fine song indeed. All right, so 888-876-5593, and let's see, Gwen has called back. So, Gwen, welcome back.
Hey. Hi, sorry, I got disconnected from you. You guys went into the loving pets. I was like, oh, boy.
Ah.
And anyhow, what I was calling about, how are you doing tonight? How are you guys doing?
Yeah. Can't complain, and you?
Okay. Enjoying the cold, well, half-warm weather here in Chicago. But anyhow, no, right?
Yeah.
Anywho, there's my... I don't know, like, I've been observing with the helicopters every year, and it's, like, right into spring when they either do a practice run, the military ones. I'm getting suspicious. You can probably do your own research on this. There's always one going down. I turn around and, like, now, doesn't anybody inspect those things before they go up? Just the gist of it, I had a friend who was a... airline pilot, and he told me everything before they take the planes up, they do their roundabout inspection on the outside, they ask about the fuel line, blah 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 blah. And I'm thinking, well, who does that for they gotta have a crew to check.
They do that, but there's nothing yet that, you know, and I obviously I can't stay on it every minute because I'm talking to you guys, but there's nothing yet that I've seen that tells me that this is a mechanical failure.
Right. But I'm just saying, over time, though, every year,
you know,
spring, I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I start keeping a little notebook, but there's one person, and I just don't want to. I have a cousin that's a retired Marine, and he's, you know how they say the vets go through their own thing when they come home and they're retired? I mean, him and his... spouse wanted to touch base with, either way, the holiday thing. I'll get in touch with him. If I learn anything new, I will share that with with his respect.
What I will say is this was a Sikorsky. This was a UH-60. And as far as chopper goes, this is probably one of the safest and most reliable helicopters that's made. Now, of course, you might want to take issue with the concept in general. I've never believed in auto-rotate. I think they sink like a rock. But in this case, it does not have a bad track record. Obviously, when adjusted for flight hours, this is the Black Hawk family, the Sikorsky Black Hawk family, probably has fewer incidents than other military helicopters, and the military helicopters in general are going to be better than some of the other stuff that's out there. So obviously regular maintenance is required, and there were years ago audits that showed they weren't properly being inspected, which obviously can be a problem. You know, the best situation is when they're just grounded. The bad situation is, of course, when they crash. But in this case, you're talking about a chopper that's been around the world for over 40 years with a really good track record. So I'm looking at it more in terms of how was the flight space violated, who did what to whom, and we don't know yet.
Oh, that's a very good point. I didn't take it from that angle, but I just know there were a few, I don't know if they were Blackhawks helicopters, I'd have to do my own research, like they were doing a practice run, like over an island and a mountain, and it's like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
But either way,
And that happens, believe me, and it happens on fixed wing, too, unfortunately, and it happens in jets. You know, you can look at the Air Force. Of course, things go wrong, no doubt about that. But I wouldn't look at this and automatically say it was anything having to do with the chopper itself. Now, whether the pilot, again, you got to get air traffic control involved in with this. But as I've said repeatedly, that Washington National Reagan Airport is very, very tight. And I don't even think anything should be going into that. But like I say, they keep it open for convenience. And maybe something like this will get people to wonder.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, with our weather changing everywhere, you got to wonder, too,
well,
like interference with airspace.
That won't be in effect here, I don't think. I haven't seen anything that tells me that. I don't know, but my guess is I'm going to read that one collided with the other. Somebody violated someone else's airspace.
I'll go on your notion there. That sounds more...
And we'll find out. I guarantee you we will find out.
Okay. Well, thanks for taking my call,
Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, the first thing I thought, because that the Black Hawk, it's a VIP chopper in terms of they ferry, you know, important people around. I thought, oh, God, who was on it? But the answer is no one in terms of, quote unquote, VIP, but three military members who probably lost their lives. Eric has called back. Welcome back to WGN Radio. Nope. Eric gave up. He gave up. Well, you got to be more patient than that. 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, if it's on your mind, I'll make sure that it is on mine as well. Hopefully you remember the new moon this morning, wrote your prosperity check. That's it. Next full moon is coming up February 12th. It will be the snow moon. I know you're saying we've had enough of that already. All right, well, we will see. So beyond that, trying to think of anything else to tell you about that is important for this Wednesday, the 29th of January. And... let's see. Well, no Mercury retrograde. I guess the next one is the Ides of March, Saturday morning, the Ides of March, Mercury retrograde going direct on April 7th. It's interesting going retrograde right on right about on tax day. Though since March 15th is that's April 15th, but if you have corporate deadlines and whatever, you might have some March 15th as well. But anyway, it is Kansas Day in Kansas. It's a state observance, and also Lunar New Year. So I haven't taken a look at what have been going on with some of the celebrations, because it's Chinese New Year as well, to find out what's up with that, but I might. But if it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. 888-876-5593. Hearing a lot about viruses, particularly noroviruses on cruise ships. And believe me, a lot of people have gotten sick. Well, here we have a case of a 77-year-old male who died of suspected kidney failure after falling ill with norovirus on the cruise. And so that particular cruise confined dozens of travelers to their cabins. Near as I know, only one sadly succumbed. He was a retired teacher. 2 weeks into a month-long voyage around the U.S. and Canada when he developed the symptoms of gastric illness, and you know what those are. And that was the deal there. It was going to dock in New York and Boston, Halifax, Nova Scotia, and apparently he collapsed, and he was placed on a drip at the ship's medical bay. And now there's an issue, because some are saying, well, he didn't get the proper treatment and all that. There's always going to be lawsuits. But he was taken to a hospital for treatment when the ship docked to St. John due to his deteriorating condition. And that is the deal. The outbreak happened between September 3rd and October 3rd and affected 128 passengers. Now, by the way, that's of almost 2,000. But nonetheless, the cruise line did all they could, or so they claimed, and we'll see. And of course, the deceased man's widow is blaming herself six ways to Sunday, because she said, you know, he was healthy and he was just doing this because I wanted to go on this cruise. And yeah, you do have the what ifs, of course, as far as that goes. But they've contacted an attorney, and we will see. But 2024 so far was the worst year historically for stomach illness outbreaks on cruise ships. And I think they've only been tracking this for, you know, a decade or so. So it's not like we have 100 years of information. But in the past month alone, 890 cases of stomach illnesses across 5 recorded outbreaks. And there were 16 between January 3rd December 29th to January 3rd. And the last time there were 16 outbreaks in quick succession in one period was back in 2012. So that's the deal. But sure, you worry about sanitization, and I'm sure the cruise lines do as well. But that's so true. You know, even in hotels, you know, yes, that you assume they're changing the sheets, and they probably are. But you know, are they changing the comforter? Are they changing the how often are they changing the bed pad? And on and on. You don't know. And when you're in a captive environment like a cruise, unfortunately, it does spread like wildfire as far as that goes. So we'll see what 2025 brings, but historically didn't get worse than 2024. Well, so we're all hearing about the price of eggs going up, record prices, and not coming down anytime soon. Well, Costco chirped up to say their famous $1.50 hot dog combo is going to stay intact price-wise. However, it is getting a major makeover, as much as you can make over hot dogs. What you can do is you can bring Coca-Cola products back to the food courts, and they're doing that at Costco this summer. The food court fountain business will be converted back to a Coca-Cola by demand. The move was made to Pepsi in 2013, cost-cutting. And thanks to the consumers and the customers and the members, they're going back to Coke. But they did want to confirm that the $1.50 hot dog price is safe. And so I don't know what changes. You know, we talk about shrinkflation. I'm not sure how much smaller you can make the hamburger and the buns. So we're assuming that that's not it. But that's the latest news from Costco. The $1.50 hot dog is safe as you know it. While egg prices, meanwhile, soar. So what else do we have? We have a number of scams out there, including. Oh, man. Sometimes you wonder, not that anybody deserves to be scammed. Don't get me wrong. It's a horrible thing when you're swindled out of your life savings. But this woman, all right, this woman, you got to hear the story to really make you wonder, how could this happen? So, yeah, she lost $700,000, her entire life savings, while she was trying to protect her bank account. She kept receipts as proof, but that didn't matter. Okay, so last year she was on her computer, and she gets an email with a link, and she clicks it. Okay, can we stop right there and say, do not click links in emails, you know, unless it's somebody you know well, something like that. But if it's an unknown thing, even if it looks like it's your bank or whatever, and by the way, if it does look like it's your bank, don't click on the link on your own. Go to your bank's website and log into your account. Don't click on any links. Well, so she clicks on the link and her computer freezes. And then she gets a phone call. And the phone call is, hi, Eva, this is the FTC. No, this is like last night when we were talking about Dale Wiebe calling Elvis in Germany, saying that he was Steve Scholz, the president of RCA Records. No, the FTC is not going to call you. But nonetheless, Eva answered, Eva by name, said, oh, yes, all right. And that's when the ordeal began. Scammers convinced her she was indeed speaking with a government official, telling her that her bank accounts had been hacked and that she was under surveillance. All right, right there, you know, hang up the phone. Rothman's checking account was drained. She was instructed over the phone to put $20,000 in cash in a shoebox, go outside, and wait on the street. Do you know anybody who would do this? All right, just checking. She brought the money down, bought the box down, got in the car, pulled up to where she was supposed to be on the street, and she was asked to keep the money in the back of the vehicle. And sure enough, someone came and opened the door and took the money. After they drained her check account entirely, they then manipulated her into buying gold bars. She was told to visit a specific store in Jackson Heights in Queens, just outside of New York City, to purchase gold bars and coins. And in just 1 week, she went to the store 3 times. The first purchase, she buys $123,000 worth of gold bars. The second purchase, she buys $249,000 worth of gold bars. The next day, she buys a 10-ounce, 24-carat bar group, totaling $305,000. 1 10-ounce bar can be worth about $28,000 or more, depending on the price of gold at the time. But at this point, the store owner was concerned, and he questioned her, saying, "What are you planning to do with all this gold?" And she said she's going to give it to her daughter. So the total, including the $20,000 that she placed in the shoebox, amounted to $698,355. They even asked her to take pictures of it, to text it to them inside the box, outside. I don't know why they need your inside box. Outside the box, seal it with tape, masking tape, put a case number on it that they gave him, and just bring it downstairs and put it in the car. No, again, is it, yeah, there are so many questions about her, right? Is she able to survive on her own? Clearly not. And the bottom lines is, be skeptical, for God's sakes. And with the use of artificial intelligence, there are going to be more sophisticated scams. Don't fall for them. Have rules of behavior that you always follow. And the first one is, if you get an email and you don't recognize it, you just discard it. If you do recognize it and it says for your bank or whatever, do not respond to that email. Independently go on your computer and log on to your account at the bank or whatever it is yourself. Never follow a link. Even when you're convinced you know who this is, because after all, you're always doing business with them and it looks just the same. No. You can very often tell in the URLs, but sometimes that can be spoofed as well. So the best part is, don't get into the situation to begin with. Yeah, and the bottom line is, in fact, Chase said, don't do anything without calling Chase first. Yes, don't send money to somebody you've only spoken to online or by phone. It's likely to be a scam. Yeah, and unless you know 100% who you're talking to, never give someone remote access to your device. I say never give someone remote access to your device, period. And never accept help from strangers at ATMs. Yeah, I say also do not use a debit card. Yeah, credit cards, fine, because you're protected. Debit cards, you're not. It's the goodwill of the bank to see whatever happened. But anyway, this woman was told to keep the situation to herself, that she was under surveillance and she could go to jail if she told anybody. All right. I wonder how many people they had to go through to get somebody this dumb. And it's unfortunate. But I have my receipts. Yeah, fake receipts from the U.S. Treasury. And meanwhile, the NYPD confirmed the investigation that it was malware on a computer and all of that. And they're saying they're working to recover the money. Not a cent. Yeah. And her nephew said, if it happened to my family, it can happen to anybody. It can. Be afraid, very afraid. Be aware, very aware. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
At first we were so happy as could be. Then you left me for spite and went away with him. Well, now let's kiss and let's make up and start all over. Can't go on this way. I need you by my side. What else is there to say? We're hurting each other's pride. Well, now let's kiss, 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 and let's make up and start all over. As happy as can be.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the Royal Jesters and the Memphis Three, who are no closer to Memphis than you were. Demas Garza wrote that, and of course he was in the Royal Jesters once Mike Pedraza left the band. That was on Cobra. So, of course, that's Abe Epstein. And if you're into lowrider soul from San Antonio, the West Side sound, unlike East L.A. where it's the East Side sound, then you're probably well aware of Abe. And this is absolutely a love-hate relationship because this guy had a ton of labels, a ton of studios. He was also a businessman. I don't remember if he was like a tailor or had a restaurant, something else. He did something else. But the deal is that he had some of the best groups, but he had, without a doubt, the absolute worst production. I mean, you know, I don't know how you get it as bad as some of these records. Some of them are just frightening. And it's really a shame because, you know, so much of it is just so good. But anyway, yeah, Epstein and Enterprises. I remember he was on General McMullen Drive. All right. And of course, Demas Garza, after the Royal Jesters went out on his own and had some really nice solo stuff too, as far as that goes. And I don't know what happened to Mike Pedraza. Sorry, they were all from Lanier High School in like 1956, but that record, as I say, came out in 62. All right, so 888-876-5593. I'm going to welcome Dave from Chicago, then we're going to hear some news. But so Dave, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how you doing tonight?
All right, how about yourself?
Hey, doing good. Yeah, that's an interesting story. I almost fell for something, and boy, am I glad I caught it, because, well, this is Monday morning, so I pick up my phone, and I thought it was my doctor's office, but then I'm like, yeah, and the guy goes, he says, hello, sir, yeah, I'm looking for Dave, because and he gave my name, so he says, okay, he says something like, yeah, I'm with the U.S. Customs, and we noticed here that a package came from Mexico to such and such place in Texas. Oh, was that you? I said, no. I said, well, what is it about? He goes, well, there is some illegal stuff in there, some stuff that's illegal, and we need to know if you did that. I said, no. I said, and who are you looking for? He goes, and you know my name?
Right.
I'm thinking, oh, I don't know how you knew my name, but I said, well, and then he goes, okay, well, what's your zip code? I'm like, well, if you're a customs law enforcement, I think you would know my zip code, wouldn't you?
Here, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. I want to pick it up right there. All right.
Sure. Yes. Okay.
All right. Oh, man. Well, Dave was smart. He didn't fall for this, but I want to hear every detail. Right now, I want to hear the news on WGN Radio. Shells, yes, Brooklyn's Own, and Baby Walk On In, the flip side of Sweetest One, and that's what Jimmy P. on the South Side wanted. I think that concludes his six-pack. 1961 on Johnson, Hiram Johnson's label. And yeah, Shells were darn good. I think we have one more Sergeant Pappy to play tonight, and then hopefully I won't confuse him, and that's Sincerely, which we'll get on next. But we're talking to Dave, and the scam it is. And so first, and good for you, the first thing the guy says, what's your zip code? I was like, well, you have my zip code. So what do you say then?
Oh, okay. Am I back on?
You are.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Yeah. So I said, okay. Again, I said, well, okay. Look, if you're part of law enforcement, I would think you would have my zip code. And I said, okay. Well, now, I didn't order nothing. I said, you know what? I said, this sounds very suspicious. I said, you have a good day, sir. And plus, the guy had an accent, too, so I don't think he was calling from the U.S. Yeah. You know, I'm like, he goes, well, sir, this is illegal. I said, you know what? No, it's not. This sounds kind of a little suspicious. You have a good day. And then I thought, ooh, is he going to call back? Well, what if it is for real? I said, but then again, and if he was a real law enforcement, I think he would have called back. You know,
I don't think they'd call. I believe they'd show up. And I believe they'd probably have warrants in their hands. I mean, if this were for real, they'd be rounding you up. They wouldn't be calling to say, let's talk about it and what's your zip code.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, this was.
I was like, okay. I said, now the next thing you know, he's going to probably ask for my address. And I said, there's no way he's going to get that, you know.
Of course.
I just let it go, and I'm like, it just riled me up. I'm like, I wonder how they're getting all this information. I mean, and how they even got my name for my phone number, unless they matched it somehow.
Well, I hate to tell you this, but they have your Social Security number too. This happened, and there's not been much conversation about it, and I think I might know why, but he'll become a conspiratorialist when I tell you. But there is a company out of Florida, and what their business is they do verifications. Like if you go to rent an apartment or something and your landlord wants to verify, make sure you're not a criminal and your credit report's okay, they'll go to a third party. Well, in this case, the third party in question, and I believe they were in West Palm Beach. They could be in Broward County, but I'm pretty sure it's Palm Beach County. In any event, here's what they did. They went ahead and decided they were going to aggregate all of the information. Now, because they were legitimately in this business of verifying people, they had access to everything, all the databases. Well, rather than just check somebody and see if they're okay or not, they warehoused the information. They databased it. They compiled a database on virtually every American. All right. Now, with everything, Social Security number, employment history, credit rating, address, previous addresses, phone numbers, etc. Well, last fall, they got hacked. And I mean, big time hacked. And the bottom line, and I find it on the one hand very interesting that we're not hearing much follow-up, is that nobody's information is secure any longer. Now, why don't I think that they're investigating it? Well, unlike countries like Germany, where you do get to own your own identification, in the good old USA, you don't own your own identification. When you have a credit card, the credit card company owns your transaction information, et cetera, and so forth. Well, there are data aggregators like ChoicePoint. I absolutely believe that the government uses them. I mean, why get a warrant when you can just buy a ChoicePoint report? And this this company is no different. So I could be wrong, but I'm not hearing about people going to jail, and they should be, because anybody who, firstly, they should have never mined the data and had it on their own servers. That should have been
exactly, absolutely
wrong. But then when they were hacked, they should be responsible. But the bottom line is anybody who thinks that their information is safe, forget about it. It's just not.
Yeah.
And that's why you should check your, free credit report. Well, annualcreditreport.com is the site. Annualcreditreport.com. You can pull your credit like once a week. Used to be once a year. You can do it like once a week now. I wouldn't do
that.
Yeah,
I froze my credit now. So.
Right. Well, freezing your credit is always a good idea, especially if you're not needing to use it for the time being. It's always a good idea. But just be mindful. Do not use debit cards. Use credit cards. Because with credit cards, you are insured. You're not responsible for more than $50 of fraudulent charges. With debit cards, they can wipe out your account, and you may not get it back.
Yeah, that's true. And then, if you don't, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I hope I didn't. If you were finished,
go for it. Yeah.
And then a couple of things, and then maybe somebody can give me some advice. Maybe some of the other callers, like the other callers that are like blind, like myself. I tried to buy a can opener that's magnetic and goes onto a can.
Okay.
And the ones I bought over here the Lighthouse for the Blind in Chicago, right. And. So I tried a couple, and then, like, they just didn't work. Like, the buttons were messed up.
Uh-huh.
So, and I'm just like, how can... that was another negative thing. So maybe, like, those, like you have, who was that? Fran in Austin, or maybe Jim from Wisconsin. Maybe he may be able to help me with a resource of where you can buy can openers that are accessible for blind people.
Right, absolutely. And first thing I saw, and I'd have to look at each one to know how accessible they are, but I'm seeing them with just the simple press of one button. It's automatic, it's hands-free, and yes, you can, so to speak. And so I need to read the reviews to make sure that you can actually see them, but it's...
maybe Amazon or something.
Yeah, and I do a lot of time at Amazon, and, so yeah, yes, you can, but I want to see. But yeah, if there's anybody else listening and who knows what is accessible for the blind, because yeah, can openers can be deadly. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
Yes, no doubt about that. It helps to see it, to say the least. So we're going to find it though. And so hopefully someone will call. But meanwhile, I'll read every one of these on Amazon tonight and let you know.
Yeah, and then can you, I don't know if you'll have time to do it tomorrow or tonight, but a request, maybe even next week if you have a chance.
What is it?
It's Bill Haley, Dim the Lights. Maybe you've played that in the past, but that's a good, I always like that song. I don't know if that's one of your favorites. But.
No, but that's all right. And he's not the only artist, of course, who did that, but I'll be happy
really?
To.
Really? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, happy to.
Well, who else did it? So?
Play, there's a list. Let me see if I can actually find this here. All right. Here's some. All right. Bill Haley. The Four Top Hatters, Cliff Richard in the Shadows, the Powell Sisters. There's more. Let's see. Who else? Marion Colby with Gil Stevens Orchestra, Jerry Norrell. Let's see. Slickville, the Four Blades, the Dixon Brothers. So there's some.
Oh, wow.
But it is the first recording. It's Bill Haley, 1954, of course. Dim the Lights. I want some atmosphere. So, yeah. And that was Beverly Ross co-wrote that. And she was an interesting writer. She's no longer with us. But she wrote a song that Phil Spector nabbed from her, just absolutely stole it. And that was... interesting that she wrote a book. I think her book was something like "I'm the Other Woman Phil Spector Killed," because it literally did kill her spirit all the way around. She died a couple years ago, but interesting. She wrote a lot of stuff, co-wrote an awful lot of stuff, including Judy's Turn to Cry, things like that. But she wrote Lollipop by herself. That was probably the first thing she wrote, which was originally Ronald and Ruby, but then of course the Quartets and everybody else. Remember. Then and Girl of My Best Friend. She was, but anyway, so yeah, she did that. But so that's the deal. We'll try and get some Dim the Lights, and we'll play the original for you.
And then, how old was Bill Haley when he passed away? Then he how old
oh,
was
of
he
course,
he
yeah, no, Bill Haley was not. you know, he was. Remember, it used to be Bill Haley and the Saddlemen. He was a country performer. Mm-hmm. And he was out of Chester, Pennsylvania. And so he was born in 1925. And so he died, I think, he was young. He died, I think it was like 81,
yeah.
around them.
And I think, was it sudden? I think it was a sudden, suddenly just passed away? Or
well, he was sick for a while. Well, you know, remember he was an alcoholic too. And, but there was something else, like he got like botulism or something. But then after that, he was in South Africa and diagnosed with a brain tumor. And, you know, he was still touring and they had to cancel the rest of the tour. And, He was living in Harlingen, Texas, and he was going to record an album in Memphis, but he would by then he was just too sick, so he went back to Harlingen. So yeah.
I didn't know much about him, but I thought, well, let me ask Raleigh; she would know more.
Well, you know, he was an interesting guy. Like I say, he was a lot of people thought he was a Philadelphian, whatever, and he wasn't. He was actually born in Michigan, and then during the Depression, the family moved to Pennsylvania, and he was living in Chester. And he was working at WPWA in Chester, and he had his Saddlemen, the Western Swing Band, and they were originally on Keystone Records. That was a local Philly label and all that. And, you know, they recorded a lot of things like a cover of Rocket 88 and all that. And, of course, you know, it was interesting because, of course, Rock Around the Clock was not a success initially. And what happened was the movie Blackboard Jungle, and it was the theme song for Blackboard Jungle. And Glenn Ford was the actor in that. And so, man, this goes right to the top of the charts. It's number one for like 8 weeks or something. And but if it wasn't for Blackboard Jungle, that probably wouldn't have been any more known than Crazy Man Crazy. You know, just wasn't. But yeah, a lot of those guys, like Danny and the Juniors, Danny Rapp, that was a horrible story too, you know, as far as that goes. He commits suicide in Quartzsite, Arizona. God, I'm not laughing because he committed suicide. That's sad. But Quartzsite, a very inventive guy, started this thing called the Quartzsite Yacht Club. And it was just a bunch of trailers that had like a nautical theme. And it said, long time no see, SEA. Now, this is the middle of the desert. Well, the Quartzsite Yacht Club later became very famous because it turned out that he handed out membership cards to the Quartzsite Yacht Club. And it was, you could use them at other yacht clubs. And so, I mean, real ones. And so people were buying these Quartzsite Yacht Club membership cards for like a dollar and then, you know, going to like Bar Harbor and other places where there are expensive clubs. But anyway, Danny Rapp was appearing in, this is a couple of years, just a couple of years after Bill Haley died, was appearing in Phoenix. And God only knows why. He left the, I think it was the Tapatio Resort. He was there for a month. He leaves the Tapatio, drives to Quartzsite. This is nowhere, truly nowheresville. Drinks heavily at one of the two bars in town. Kills himself. Bought a 25 caliber automatic and kills himself at the Quartzsite Yacht Club. And to this day, no one knows why.
Wow. And then I remember that I heard that even Del Shannon killed him. That he killed himself.
That is a sad story, and there are questions. I know there were lawsuits about that. Actually, I think his widow, as far as that goes, because it was 1990, it was the beginning of 1990. And,
yeah, I remember that was in high school, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he was, because he didn't live far from me. I was in Newhall. But anyway, he was, you know, scheduling concerts, and he was trying to finish a new album. There was a lot of stress. Well, okay. So in January, his doctor prescribed Prozac. 15 days later, he shoots himself. And he was right by me. Newhall, I call it Newhall because that's what it always was. It later got a name, Santa Clarita, because that was Newhall, Valencia, and Saugus. But anyway, he was right there. And but the thing is, everybody around him, because I remember at the time I would hear this, he was stressed, but he was in charge of his business. He was raring to go. And, suddenly he starts the Prozac. He gets insomnia and fatigue and chills and all that. And, his widow said, suicide was totally out of character for my husband. There was no note. There was no goodbye.
Oh.
Yeah, so, you know, but, all of those things that mess with your brain chemicals, they have a potential downside that people don't seem to recognize.
Mm.
So... Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Well, that's good. I appreciate you taking time to explain that. And again, I'm glad you took my call, and I'm glad it's nice to kind of say what's on our minds. And I hope you're going to do this for many more years, Raleigh. You really touch a lot of people.
Very kind of you to say and call me again. Thank you.
I'll call you tomorrow night, maybe, if I can get through. I'll call tomorrow night, maybe.
Oh, good. I'll look forward to it. Thanks. All right.
Okay, Raleigh, take care.
In the meantime, we got to find Dave's can opener. All right, so can opener. Now, come on. Somebody is listening who has solved this problem. So can opener for the blind. Because can openers can be absolutely lethal even when you see. All right, so if you've got any suggestions, I want to hear them all. We'll get to Jim in Richmond. Yay, okay. And James on the South Side. We're already going over some of his stories. And Laura in Willowbrook. And Room for You on WGN Radio. Just the best. And of course, that's The Moon Glows. And of course, Harvey Fuqua wrote it. Of course, if you look at the label, it says Fuqua and Freed. Alan Freed, of course, had to get in on that too, don't you know? 1954 on Chess. All right, now before we do anything else, I see here that Karen has a suggestion on a can opener for Dave. All right, Karen, what you know?
Hi. I got mine at Target. And I've had it for a few years. And, you know, eventually they get dull. But this one is great. It has the lever, you pull it back, and you can easily tell where the can goes in. It slips in by the wheel. And there is a magnet on the top of the can. When you push the lever down and it goes around and takes the lid off, when you take it, you release it from the can opener, the magnet holds the can lid, so you don't have to go fishing around.
Well, by the way, don't all can openers do that?
I don't know. This is the only one I ever had.
All right. So, do you know the name of the can opener, the brand or model number or something?
No, I do remember though. I got it at Target.
Hang on a minute. It's time for the news. Don't go away. Stay where you are. Okay. Or better yet, you've told me that someone else will call. I'll look for it. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Sure.
So, good deal. All right. So, Fran's going to have a suggestion, but I forgot about the news, as usual. So, let's get on with it on WGN Radio.
If you ever leave me, I'll be sad and blue. Don't you ever leave me. I'm so in love with you. The birds in the sky would be sad and lonely if they knew. Crying, they'd be sad. Don't be bad to me. But I know you won't leave me, 'cause you told me so. And I've no intention of letting you go. Just as long as you let me know, you won't be bad to me.
sky won't be sad and lonely, cause they know that I've got my one and only. They'll be glad you're not bad to me. But I know you only me, cause you don't.
I'm Raleigh James. Billy J. Kramer with the Dakotas. The flip side of Little Children, Bad to Me. Lennon and McCartney wrote both sides. And it was Cindy in Chicago who wanted that. So we've knocked off one of her requests with several more to go. That's why we've got tomorrow. Also, my next request, Sam and Gurney. I hope that he's still awake. More to the point, I hope his granddaughter Emmy is still awake. Maybe he can record it. Or, well, you know, we do record all these shows. For evidence, if necessary. Kidding. And it not only replays on the stream until the next live show, but the download is available in perpetuity. All you have to do is go to Raleigh.net, Raleigh.net, and click on the date. And it usually takes me an hour or two after the show to get around to digitizing it, but then it is up in perpetuity or until I decide that I'm sick of it. All right. So now, more before we get back to everything else, Fran in Austin has more can open suggestions. So what do you got, Fran?
Well, I just have a little old school electric can opener that I've had for, God, years and years, and I think that it's the only kind I've ever bought. I used to use a hand can opener sometimes, you know, the one that you squeeze it together and you turn the little...
Yeah.
But my hands, I can't do that anymore. So I just tried to purchase one of the little battery-operated ones. I think that might have been the one that he might have gotten, because I got it from one of the stores for the blind, you know, that have products for the blind.
Yeah.
And I can't get that to work for darn. So I would suggest just the regular little electric can opener.
Yeah, because it does have that little magnet that you kind of clamp down. And
You just clamp that down. And they do have one, and I haven't been able to find it. The only reason I didn't bring it up at first was because I haven't been able to find another one. Mine conked out on me. I used it so much. But they had one that I had for a while that opened the can kind of further down in the can and made it kind of like a lid.
Ooh.
And it was smoother. It didn't have quite the jagged edges that the regular can openers have. But one of the things I wanted to mention, and I'm not putting down any of the stores for the blind or casting aspersions on any of them. Sometimes they have to charge a little bit more for some things because they don't have, you know, the demand is not
right, of course,
as big. But there are a lot of things that they have that you can just get in the regular store, and you can get it a lot cheaper.
Absolutely.
Like I remember one time, I found this out the hard way. My mother bought me, when I first moved out on my own, many years ago when I was 18. My mom bought me this knife that had a serrated blade, and then it had this little guide on it that you can screw it, you know, one way or another and make the slices thicker or thinner.
Yeah.
And she paid, like, I don't know, 50-something bucks for it. We found it a couple of weeks later at just a regular kitchen, you know, just a regular, like, a Walgreens or something like that.
Right,
10 bucks.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm just suggesting, because, like, I mean, I buy stuff from the places as well. And I always have the mistaken impression that, because I bought it from there, I'll be able to get it to work.
No. It is a good idea to check those sites, but then when you see something, you say, I want one of these, it's good to kind of shop around to see, does Amazon have it for a tenth of the price?
Yeah, well, that's what I do when I have the time and inclination to do it, if I'm not being lazy, and just, I want this now, I'll just click on it and buy it. I will go, that's what I'm suggesting, that, you know, if you see something on one of those sites that you like, see if they have something similar on Amazon,
or one of
the other sites, because a lot of times you can get it a lot cheaper, which also brings me to another amusing thing. Your certificates that you send out are on what we use for Braille paper.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Well, you'll have to tell me if what the next group is going to be the same, because we just went out and bought more card stock. I don't know what John picked, so it might not be exactly the same, but you'll have to find out. You'll have to let me know.
Yeah, well, a little funny story about it. I found out because I was in choir, and I had my lyrics to my songs and my little notebook, and I had almost forgotten it, and so a friend of mine picked it up. Oh, you left your notebook, and it happened to fall open. She said, oh, you were on the radio? and then she said, oh, and this one says Gary. She said, you and Gary are on the radio? And I said, oh, my God, I must have gotten a couple of certificates instead of the Braille paper when I was writing down my lyrics.
Oh, that's funny.
And so, anyway, I told them about the show and everything, but she says, well, I never stay up that late, so yeah, she probably doesn't listen, but, you know.
That's hilarious. Yes.
I tried to give you a plug.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'll take all the help I can get.
But it was, you know, kind of strikes me as funny. But I should ask John where he gets the if it's the same stuff, because I'm paying for Braille paper.
Oh, no, well,
I'm sure it's probably priced a little more.
Right, because it's dirt cheap stuff. We go to Kelly Paper. I've used Kelly Paper since I used to put out those Mediatrics market profiles, and I just like them. And they've got Kelly Paper pretty much all over the country, I think.
Okay.
So let me see if they have, I don't know about Austin. Let's see. And they got.
Well, I know somebody did tell us that Braille paper is basically cardstock.
Yeah, that's exactly right, and that's what we do. We just get cardstock is all there is to it. And I usually look for some of the cheapest cardstock. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, I will. This time I will save the label, and when you get your certificates, if you like it, I'll tell you exactly what it is. And are you still with me? No, we've lost Fran. Oh well. Bye, Fran. I'll talk to you later. Yeah, I don't know. Now, hopefully this is just Fran and not everybody else. You know, I hope it's not like the internet just went down, but I guess we'll see. All right, so let's see. Jim in Richmond and his insurance problem, you got it solved?
Yes, I want to thank you. I called him up early this morning,
uh-huh.
And I said to him, I do not want any, you know, I don't want to see you. I don't want to, you know, do anything. And I said, and please do not come to my house.
Right.
And he said he was going to come out and give me a card.
Right.
I says, if you want to give me a card,
mail it.
Put it in the mail.
Right.
So then he turns to me and says, well, I have all these papers, so I'll just send all the papers with the card. So I hung up and I'm going, what papers? This policy has been in since 2008.
Oh, probably the 16 other policies he wants to sell you.
Right, and that's what I thought, too.
Yeah.
And then the next thing is, remember when I told you about my problems with my router for the internet?
Yes.
I forgot to tell you, they turned it off.
But
they said they had to upgrade it.
Oh, God.
And then you're supposed to reboot it.
Yeah.
Well, I can't read your directions, you know, stuff. That's why I had to go through them.
Right.
And then what really made me mad, as soon as I hung the phone up, Sari says you got an email from U.S. Cellular, and it was an offer to get 5G internet.
Yeah, right.
Right. But the whole thing was, okay, he's having trouble. We'll try to sell him another system.
You're right.
Right after I hung the phone up.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the way of the world. You just ignore it. But good. I'm glad you got that resolved. Excellent.
Right. And then what they were talking about is these scams. I get this girl that calls me every week, and she says, I'm Ashley so-and-so.
Yeah.
I'm from Tax Recovery Incorporated, and for our records show that you owe back taxes.
Yeah, hang on.
And then if
yeah.
you call us at this number, we will make it good.
Yeah, so of course you don't.
I hang up and I delete the voicemail because I don't talk to her.
Right, of course.
And then sometimes if it says delete and report as junk, then I press that.
Right, exactly.
You know.
Sure.
And then I got an email the other day. I could not make any sense about it. So I just deleted it, reported it as junk.
Right.
2 seconds later, I get the same exact email.
Uh-huh.
So Siri was reading it, didn't make any sense, deleted it, reported as junk. And then I got a third one.
Interesting.
And then I did the same thing. And then they finally gave up.
But interesting.
And it was like, I didn't even understand it. They were asking for information and stuff. But,
well, sure. And
so I just want.
But that's interesting that, and you know it's computerized and all that, that it works to
right.
immediately send you another email. I love that.
Right. Right. So I know you have other callers.
Indeed.
I just wanted to update you on that.
Good deal. It sounds like it was a good day. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Good deal. 888-876-5593 is 8888-ROLLYE. We'll talk to Carol in a moment here. She's a second-time caller. And we got James, and we got Laura, and we got Don, and we'll see how we do as we play Beat the Clock. But if not, there's a full show tomorrow night starting at 10 right here on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Frankie Valli in Greece, 1978 on RSO. Barry Gibb wrote it and produced it. And that was last night Sam and Gurney saying, you have to play this for my granddaughter, Emmy. And so Emmy's probably long asleep, but hopefully Sam recorded it. And if not, he can download it at Raleigh.net, R-O-L-L-Y-E.net. About an hour or two after the show, it'll be up there. You just click on downloads. There it is. It also will stream until tomorrow. So there you go, Emmy. All right, now, 888-876-5593. Carol, a second-time caller, and let's see, where are Hanover Park. All right, Carol.
There was a caller just a few minutes ago talking about trying to... She bought something for $50, and then later out she found out she could buy it somewhere else cheaper.
Yeah.
If I'm buying something that's expensive, I go into my search engine and type in best price for, and if I know what a specific product I'm looking for, I'll put that product name in.
Now,
sometimes
you do understand, by the way, you do understand that this was when Fran left home at age 18. Now, I assume that was somewhere in the early 70s at the earliest, at the latest, and I would assume that you couldn't search for anything.
Probably not as easily as you can today.
Well, not at all. But yes, absolutely. You can, shopping online, looking for the best price is always a good idea. But, you know, back then, literally, the only way you'd find it is if you went store to store to store.
Yeah, true. But that's, you know, I don't know. I was just going to share that tip for now.
Absolutely.
I didn't do that.
Yeah, and it also helps to check Amazon because very often they're going to be your cheapest deal.
And sometimes the search engine will pull up Amazon as one of the areas, one of the companies that has the best price on a specific product.
Well, you know why it does, don't you?
Yeah, because they're a huge seller.
No, because they get a kickback on it.
Oh, do they?
If you click on a link you get on the search engine, yeah, they're getting their 1%, 2%. Sure, it's a referral fee. Yeah, almost all the things you can click on like that, whoever is suggesting them is getting a referral fee.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good to know. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. I used to get referral fees from Amazon for the show. People would occasionally buy something. They cut me off after a few years because they said, this is only your friends and family. And I guess not enough people did anything. And I thought, the first of the matter is, no, it's not my family at all. There's no family to speak of. But secondly, yeah, friends, every one of you is a friend. But apparently they didn't consider that good enough. So they deleted my Amazon affiliate account. And, you know, someone said, you know, you could fight to have that back. I said, it's not worth it. What do I care? All right. So let's see. Oh, all right. So I think, I'm not sure. That we, well, let's see. Laura in Willowbrook, welcome to WGN Radio. Hello, Laura. Oh, we lost Laura. All right, so, yes. And the waning moments, I'm losing control. I think, we already spoke to Dave. That was a while ago. Don from Beloit called back. Okay, Don, what is it?
Hey, Martha Stewart makes great stuff. And she's got several can openers that are great.
Okay. Well, again, it comes down to how good are they when you cannot see the can or the opener.
Yeah, these are like the old-fashioned kind of various types, $15 to $25.
Okay.
That's about it.
Okay, good deal. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. So 888-876-5593, our last caller of the night, getting the last 3 minutes of the show. And again, remember that tomorrow night, full show starting at 10, no preemption. So it's James on the south side. So James, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but we reviewed several of your stories, including the lunatic who lost her money.
Oh, I happened to have been asleep partially. That's the only reason I missed it.
Oh, man. Well, all I can say about that is that I don't know how the woman is breathing on her own, because you can't be this stupid. First, put $20,000 in the back seat of your car and then go out and buy gold and leave it places? No. I mean, I can't begin to understand how anyone who was able to navigate life and theoretically live alone, which I think she did, would fall for this.
Yeah, when I read it again, I said, okay, she could have easily had gotten the old manufacturer used to have a shirt they threw through that catalog that was said, I'm with stupid.
Yeah, right.
Only started pointing, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, what's interesting is her nephew had said, this could happen to any family, and I'm saying, no, it couldn't. You have to have somebody who's supremely stupid. I realize there are people who will fall for a lot of things, but that was beyond believable. Although John came in to remind me of people who literally have committed murder because they were told by somebody they were recruited by the CIA.
I heard about on a YouTube channel about supposedly they had some drug that, and then the person never didn't remember that they had actually done it.
Well, of course, all of that, but you really gotta wonder. But again, I think the rule should basically be, don't click on any link in any email for any reason whatsoever. And for God's sake, stop answering your phone unless you recognize the number. But even then, be careful.
Yeah, because sometimes I noticed a few times where I've answered what I thought was the number of somebody I knew.
Uh-huh.
It turned out that somebody had substituted.
Right.
It was a number, but it wasn't.
Yeah, no, that caller ID spoofing is just routine. And if someone's sophisticated enough, they know who your phone list is, and they spoof the numbers of people you would otherwise know.
Yeah, I even had where they even called, okay, and it was like, oh, this is funny. It's my own phone number.
Right here. I know. I've seen that, too. All right. You've ended the show. Tomorrow night, we can pick it up with the guy on the FBI's most 10 wanted list getting arrested. We'll talk about why. And thanks for calling. And I appreciate that. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you for calling. Now, here's the deal. It's a 3-hour show. It starts at 10. Yeah, 10 to 11. I'm talking to myself. So call earlier and you'll get in. And I'll look forward to it on WGN Radio.